Barry Lopez is known as our nation's premier nature writer. Barry Lopez describes the sacred meaning of place and experience in ways that, through his writing, invite us to take the journey with him. I've recently been reading his 1998 memoir entitled About This Life, Journeys on the Threshold of Memory. In that collection of short stories, he shares and reflects on a cross-country trip he once took from his home in Western Oregon to visit a friend in South Bend, Indiana. He avoids the interstates, choosing instead the rambling mesh of state roads where he can attend more presently to the landscape across which he travels. He begins the short story with these words: "A few miles east of home in the Cascades, I slow down and pull over for two raccoons, sprawled still as stones in the road. I carry them to one side and lay them in sun-shot, wind-blown grass in the barrow pit." In eastern Oregon, on US 20, black-tailed jackrabbits lie like welts of sod in the road. In Idaho, a crumpled adolescent porcupine leers up almost maniacally over his blood-flecked teeth. I carry each one away from the pavement into the cover of grass or brush out of decency, I think, and worry. Who are these animals? Their lights gone out? What journeys have fallen apart here? At one point, a man asks him at the side of the road the question not yet formed on my lips, but clearly stirring in my heart of hurried distraction. "Why do you bother?" the man asked. And Lopez responds to him and to his audience standing in the shadows, "You never know. The ones you give some semblance of burial, to whom you offer an apology, may have been like seers in a parallel culture. It is an act of respect, a technique of awareness." Lopez plods cross-country in staccato fashion, stopping for brief moments of silent respect and earthy rites for birds and all sorts of mammals, even insects resting lifeless in the sill of his motel room window, until finally, amid the chorus of cicadas singing love songs at dusk in the trees lining his friend's driveway in Indiana, he steps from his car one final time, bearing, he said, a sorrow over the world's dark hunger, and was greeted by his friend, who invites him inside and into the powerful antidote of human conversation and the forgiving embrace of the rational. I read that short story and I thought, wow, that'll preach. It is a Lenten short story, to be sure, morbid, but beautiful, inviting us to a technique of awareness. My friends, this fifth Sunday in Lent was for over half a century, until a half century ago, known as Passion Sunday, a fortnight from Easter, when we began a two-week intensive encounter with the death of Jesus. We now collapse that into just 1 week, holding next week's Palm Sunday as Passion Sunday 2, striking a cadence that will carry us breathless to the cross before leaning 3 days later beside the opening of an empty tomb with blurry morning eyes that cannot make sense of Easter yet. We no longer hear the Passion Gospel today, but we see it foreshadowed in the passage we just heard about Mary kneeling at Jesus' feet. Or should I say, we smell it foreshadowed in the nard-filled air. On the outskirts of Jerusalem, a place with deep meaning for Jesus, at a place called Bethany, Jesus enters a friend's home with heart heavy with sorrow for the world's dark hunger. And Jesus, hungry for the powerful antidote of human conversation as he ponders the weight he wished would just fall away. He is there with his friends, including Lazarus, whom he has raised from the dead. The stench of death was still in the room, though none spoke of it. That fetid odor that hangs heavy, lifeless in the stale air of a candle-lit room. Was it Lazarus still? Having been dead 4 days before being unbound and let go to live once more? Or was it hanging heavy on Jesus already? Limpid notes of what was soon to come. The men around him at table with him were unsure or unaware, too busy shoring up their kingdoms of fear and self-preservation, frantically plotting a different course than the one Jesus was contemplating. There was nervous chatter about the risk that Jesus would take returning to Jerusalem. This night would be his last Sabbath meal alive. In 6 days' time, he would be arrested and whipped and pierced and crucified by the powers of rational contempt. He was dead man walking. The men around him did not know this, of course, so they pressed on eating their bread of anxiety. But Mary knew. Mary knew. Mary, the sister with whom Jesus wept full on the road where she came to meet him to tell him of his friend and her brother Lazarus' death. Mary knows. Mary knows, having been already to the parallel culture of Lazarus, her brother's death, and brought back. Mary knows as a seer, a prophet who knows death when she sees it, who knows death when she smells it, who knows what is about to happen to Jesus on the road to Golgotha. In this moment, she sees no need to maintain any semblance of boundaries her station as a Middle Eastern woman would otherwise demand. No, she and Jesus share an intimacy that transcends even death now, and nothing will ever be the same again. So she retrieves the clay jar and breaks its neck, releasing the smell of spikenard, a sharp scent with notes of mint and ginseng. The thing about odors, friends, is that one odor does not replace the other. They contrast. They compete, intermingling in the wafts of air, lighting side by side on our olfactory bulbs, firing the competing neurons in our brain to tell us what smell it is. Vladimir Nabokov once wrote, "Smells are surer than sight or sound to make your heartstrings crack." Mary knows that as she releases the burial balm into the room. She has no need for words in the moment, no need to live life any longer denying the reality of death, any death. And so she releases her hair in a scandalous act of intimacy brought on by the stench of death and rubs the oily nard into Jesus' dry, dusty feet. Surely she mingles more tears there too, before using her silken strands of black hair to wipe away any residue. It's scandalous, folks. Scandalous in its excess, in its extravagance. It is an act of respect. It is a technique of awareness. Did you see it? Did you smell it? Someone protests, but Jesus waves them off and says, "Leave her alone. Mary is a prophet from some parallel culture where the value of the nard is inconsequential to the economy of God's abundant mercy made manifest in this man who would soon die. And we, you and I, are left standing in the shadows of a candlelit room, onlookers treated to the holy moment, the silent ritual, as we prepare in our own right to make our way with Jesus to Jerusalem, to the place where death and life stand still for 3 days, fetid odor in the air, mingled now with the piercing aroma of pure nard, all so that we might splint our weak knees to make the journey that will take us to the back roads of crucified life and beyond, yea, even unto Easter. Will you go? Will you go?